say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. And again, I just appreciate your desire to be with us for a time of not only just friendship and fellowship, but a time of worshiping together for our, to our Heavenly Father. Again, there is an outline in the bulletin this morning for those who would like to follow along. I sometimes ask my brethren to look around and please share if you see someone that does not have an outline that may want to follow along. You don't have to, but it does help you to see how close I am to finishing. You follow the notes. But the title of the lesson this morning is not necessarily a continuation of last week's lesson. Last Lord's Day, the sermon was titled Love Right. And we looked at several verses or half a dozen verses that describe what the right kind of love should look like. So I just decided that we might just give a lesson on love gone wrong. Or forbidden love. Things the Bible says that we should not love. So that's what this lesson is. By way of introduction, just kind of a review, the charge was given in last week's lesson, Matthew 22, verse 37, concerning what's the greatest commandment, what's the best we can be, the ultimate, the top. What is there there's nothing better? And here is Jesus' word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. It doesn't get better than that. That's the supreme charge, the absolute test. That's the priority of life. Anything that takes us away from that directive is wrong. And in a sense, forbidden. Second thought I want you to consider is, in your notes, is a provoking question. Jesus said it in Matthew 16, verse 26. For what's a man profited? What do we gain? If we gain the whole world, now I'm not talking about just carving out your section, not just squeezing out a little bit in life. What is a man profited if he gained the whole world? That means it all. More than what Bill Gates has. More than Oprah Winfrey. Warren Buffett. And all of these others, multi-times over billionaires. You have more than that. You gained everything the world has. And you lose your soul. What have you profited? The value of the soul versus the whole world. Everything. There's a song we sing. I put this in your notes, but just read the words. We're not going to sing this one. But just the words. The song is titled A New Creature. That's us as Christians. New life in Christ Jesus. So for those of us who have made that declaration on whose side we stand and to whom we belong, the songwriter has captured an attitude of life. He says, buried with Christ, that's us who have been baptized, buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin, I'm dead to that. Satan may call, oh yeah, Satan may call. Yeah. The world may entreat me. Oh, yeah, turn your head up. The world's entreating us. But there's no voice that answers within. I'm dead to the world. And then that's the chorus. Dead to the world. The voices that call me. Living anew. Obedient, but free. Dead to the joy that once did enthrall me. Oh, yeah. Yet this not I, Christ, liveth in me. The third stanza. Sin has no more its cruel dominion. Right. Walking in newness of look at these things that are forgiven. We know the Bible in last week's lesson gives us what our love should look like in the right direction. Now let's look at love gone wrong. Not recommending this. These are warnings that the Bible gives. Don't do this at home. Number one, I'll read the entire verse. I just put the phrase in your notes, but listen to the entire verse. In John 3, beginning of verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now the condemnation is not that light came into the world. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light that's come into the world. Because, the verse continues, their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light. Otherwise, his deeds would be reproved. So the first phrase is, he says, light's come into the world. Meaning, in John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the message is that first phrase, light's come into the world. In other words, when we love light, it means we follow Jesus and we don't walk in darkness. When we walk, the idea is we walk in the light of God's Word, Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word's a lamp to my feet. We want to walk in the light. Thy word's a lamp unto my feet, a light to my pathway. Yeah. So the Bible admonition is to walk in the light. Oh, but men sometimes love darkness. And that's the condemnation. We're admonished in Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't go that direction. But that phrase, men love darkness rather than light. They hate the light. You ever wonder, I know you know, why do we light up parking lots at night? Element of safety, huh? Sometimes at night there are certain neighborhoods or places you'll receive the warning, don't go there at night. And you know the meaning. You understand that concept. Don't go there at night. Why? Because men love darkness and their deeds are evil. That's the verse. You look at the police blotter, it reveals crimes, and the majority of them happen at night. Parents tell their children, and all we try to do tell ours, nothing good happens after midnight. Your curfew may be a little older, depending on the age of your children. But I know there's nothing, absolutely nothing, no matter what party you're attending or what event you're at, if it's after midnight, I know nothing good is going to happen. Even if you have to leave early. If it's after midnight, I know. And the police, I try to just come and say, son, you're driving out, things are right after midnight, you're almost the only one on the road, and so you know who the policeman's going to be looking at? He's going to be looking at you because you're the only one on the road. Men love darkness. In society, evil people love the cloak or the cover of darkness where there's no light to expose their evil deeds. They don't want to be reproved. In the newspaper, not very long ago, skateboarders love the lack of supervision. That's not nighttime. It's not darkness. But there's no supervision. Skateboarders love no supervision. Love darkness. Helmets and protective pads for knees and elbows are still required. But yesterday was the first day without park supervisors to enforce the rules. The city's budget cut eliminated the staff. At least half the skater that robbed Beale State Park in Ocean Beach did not have helmets around noon yesterday. Also, with the lack of supervision, BMX bikers, long prohibited at the skate park, returned. Sean White, he's 37 years old. He said, "I'm stoked that this has happened. I love that there's no supervision." Love no supervision. Don't have to wear my helmet. Bring on the bikes. They're not supposed to be. Men love darkness rather than light. Don't do that. Number two in your notes. In John chapter 12, and I'll read the entire verse. Verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers," oh, that's pretty good people. The chief rulers? Among the chief rulers, also many believed on him," meaning Jesus. So here were the religious chief rulers, the Jewish religious rulers, believed on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, meaning Jesus. Otherwise, they would be put out of the synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. These chief rulers gave up their belief. They gave up their confession. They sacrificed or gave up the praise of God for popularity with the people. They were afraid their fellows, the Pharisees, afraid of them, and so they were intimidated. They didn't want to lose their popularity. They prayed, "I might be cast out of the group I'm in. These people I run around with right now may not like it if I become more faithful or religious, or if I declare my faith in Jesus. Well, they may not like it." And these chief rulers sided with the popular people, sacrificing their faith. They did not confess Jesus. They would rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 30, "He that's not with me is against me." We need to say, I'm not against Jesus. Jesus said you are if you're not with him. Number three. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 9, I'll read the entire text. It says, "But they that be rich," they that would be, that's the wannabe, "they that would be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And then he continues in verse 17, "Charge them that are rich not to trust in uncertain riches." So put your nose, nothing wrong with seeking treasure. We want to provide for our own. I have ambition. I want to strive to get to be better. But there's nothing wrong with having treasure, but it comes with a warning. It's in the text. But Jesus also warned in Luke 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." It's okay to have abundance. It's okay to possess. But you better know that your life is more than the things that you have accumulated. Read that bumper sticker, "He who has the most toys wins." Not eternally. Not when that the most toys sacrifices faith. Not when having the most toys takes you away from God. Not when you put your trust in having the most toys. Luke 12, verse 21,
Jesus said, and so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Be sure God has the priority, the first place. Number four, you know, we'll move along. In 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1, another thing not to love. Remember, it's not the treasure that's wrong. It's that love of money. That's the root of all kinds of evil. When it becomes the priority to where God is sacrificed in your life. So number four, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times. That's not good. Perilous times. The first thing he says, where men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Lovers of their own selves. Means excessive pride. You know that. The egotistical situation. Conceited. The idea of self-importance. You know, everything's self. It's the idea of lovers of self, smug. That's a good word. High opinion of oneself. Lovers of self. That causes perilous times. Paul said in Romans 12, verse 3, says, for I say, through the grace given me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But men will be lovers of self. In Matthew 20, verse 26, Jesus himself said it this way, whosoever would be great among you, that's what I want to be. I'd like to attain some greatness. He'll be great among you, let him be your minister. That doesn't mean preacher. Let him be your servant. And that's the next phrase. Whoever would be chief among you, let him be your servant. But sometimes people want that preeminence. Lovers of self. Look at me. Self-importance. And that causes perilous times. Number five. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. And it continues this list of perilous times, still in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But I've skipped to verse 4 because the word lovers is there again. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When it's time to love God, now you can make the application. Say Bible class time, worship assembly time, time for ministry, time for service. But though it's somebody said, well, I love pleasure. So rather than involve myself in these things, I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to take the Lord's day as my own day of pleasure. So instead of loving God, I'm going to forsake the assembly. I'm going to look down because I don't want to look at anybody. So I'd rather attend any event than the worship assembly. Some people would just quit all areas of congregational living because they become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He doesn't say you can't love pleasure. Have a good time. Be involved in events. Doesn't say that. But when we love these more than lovers of God, when pleasure takes the priority, he says that's perilous times. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, describes a lady, Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, she that gives herself to pleasure is dead while she lives. She's alive physically, but she's spiritually dead. So giving ourselves to pleasure more than lovers of God is disaster, spiritual death. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus tells a story and describes someone, says, that which is the seed, the word of God, fell among thorns. So the sower goes forth to sow seed. The seed's the word of God. Some of that seed fell among thorns. Not a very good area. Says, and these are they
which when they, meaning now he's making the application, this person, has heard, and then he goes forth, he's Christian, and but he's choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and brings no fruit to perfection. So now he's choked with the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life. It's interesting, on Sunday morning, driving to the building from worship, this is amazing to me, to see our parks and recreation areas beginning to be filled with pleasure seekers. When it's time for worship. My boys are involved in Little League. My boys are involved in events at school. Some of the teams did that. But not at 10:30 Sunday morning. At a restaurant this morning having coffee, just a little of my notes. And here came a dad in with his son, all decked out for soccer. And proud of that. We're going to soccer even. Sunday morning. Number six. Move on. Number six. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'll read the entire text for you. Love not the world. It was read to us this morning in our scripture reading. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me read that again. If any man love the world, you can say you love the Father all you want to, but John, by inspiration, you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I'm going to believe inspiration more than I'm going to believe you. You can protest loud and long, oh, I love God. Prove it. Prove it. The way that you live is telling me that you don't, no matter what your lips say. I'm hearing the verse louder than I'm hearing you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. The world passes away. It's not going to last. It's fleeting. It's not eternal. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. Again, it takes us back to the value of the soul. Even if you gain the whole world, you lose your soul, what have you profited? 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. James 4, verse 4 says, whosoever would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's scripture. I'm not the enemy of God, I'm just having a good time in the world. If you'll be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Jesus said it. Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, the world. You cannot do it. So the lesson is, I didn't write this in closing, I ran out of space at the bottom of the paper. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2,
If ye then be risen with Christ, we're Christians. We've been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Seek them. Give it some effort. Seek the things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Priority. So that's the lesson for this morning. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. Maybe one here this morning is not a member of the New Testament church. Perhaps you've never been baptized for remission of sins, and we can accomplish that. If you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, if you want to share that with the congregation, you have to share these particulars, but say, I want brethren to pray with me or for me. We can accomplish that. You just simply need your response. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation, or a song of invitation. And so if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to respond in a public way, just come while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and sing the song, the Genesis Collective Chorus. Again, that's your resolve. So while we're singing this song,
I'm pressing on.